Good morning, everyone. Would you please turn with me to the book of Judges? We're moving on in our studies of the pictures of Christ that we find in the Bible. And we're coming to the book of Judges, and it's the chapter 6. The chapter 6 of the book of Judges. And we read from verse 1 of this chapter. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till they come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle, and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading from his precious word. Now, as we move on in our study, I want to remind you of something that I would have touched upon on a number of occasions, I'm sure, during the studies so far. And it's a simple truth, yet it's one that we ever need to bear in mind. Now, we can find in the Bible glimpses of the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of his people that are recorded in the Bible. But what we have to ever remember is that, and here maybe I could give you an example of what it is I'm referring to, just as a beautiful painting, a masterpiece, if it is set into a corner, forgotten about, ignored, neglected, shifted about over a lengthy period of time, dumped here and dumped there, because it's getting in somebody's way. And as time goes by, it suffers abuse. And after a lengthy period, if somebody does bring it out to have a look at it, they will discover that the frame is somewhat misused. They'll discover that the surface of the canvas on which this beautiful painting is covered in dust, besmirched by dirt, through it being mishandled over a period of time, and the paint has flaked off here and there on the surface of the canvas, so that when you look at it, you have to really look hard to work out what it is the artist first painted. Now, the abuse does not completely obliterate the painting. You can still see something of the beauty of what it was the artist had painted. But the beauty's marred. It's not anything like what it once was when it came fresh from the painter's brush. Well, that gives you some little understanding of when we come to look at men and women who in their lives reflect something of the Lord Jesus. It's an imperfect picture. It's an imperfect picture. It's like that old canvas with flakes of paint missing, dust and dirt on its surface obscuring the beautiful image below. You see, breaking through in the lives of the holiest of men and women, in which there is a shining forth of the likeness of Christ. There is the old sins of that person, the sinful nature of that person, the sinful actions of that person. And they besmirch and stain the image of Christ that is to be found in the life of that person. And I say this because when we take up someone, like the subject today, it's Gideon. And Gideon did reflect the Saviour in his life in many ways. But we know that Gideon did sin. We know that Gideon did do what was wrong. And there are these stains that obscure the beauty of the Lord that otherwise would have been seen much more clearly in his life. So I want you to remember that. And I want you, of course, to think about yourself. Because if you're saved, the beauty of the Lord our God should be upon you. And it should be your desire that more and more and more that beauty be seen in your life. And that requires you to step into the background, as it were, and let Christ be seen. Your desires, your ambitions, your natural inclinations, they must be suppressed. They must be stopped. They must be hindered. Or, to use a Bible phrase, they must be crucified if the beauty of the Lord is to be seen. You can imagine if the Saviour were speaking to a crowd, as he would often have done, and somebody were to get up and manoeuvre themselves and stand in front of him, and so obscured the Saviour from those who were listening to him and wanted to see him. Well, we can do that in our lives. We can give way to sinful impulses, sinful ways. We can yield to temptation, and we step into the front of Christ, and so we obscure him who would otherwise be seen in our lives if we didn't give way to our old sin. So we're bearing that in mind as we come to think about Gideon and other characters that we will encounter in the Bible. Every believer, every Christian, and I'm talking now to each one of you who is saved, every Christian is a new creature or a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17 tells us that. Now, this newness that has come about as a result of the new birth, God working in us and creating a new nature within us, this new nature is made after the image of God. The righteousness of God is planted within us. And more we should reflect that righteousness and show that righteousness. And therefore Christ is seen in us. Isaiah the prophet said that God hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's Isaiah chapter 61 and the verse 10. Now, that's a wonderful image of what happens when you get saved. The robing, the covering over what we used to be. And we're covered over with the righteousness of Christ. You remember the prodigal when he came home? He was given new garments, new shoes. Man, the old image that he would have borne while he was in the far country and the dirt and the filth and the stains, that was washed away and he was robed in new garments. And that's what happens when we're saved. Now, these garments reflect Christ. And we mustn't allow anything to cover over those garments. We mustn't allow anything to hide those garments from the world. So that when they look at us, they see the garments of heaven. They see the righteousness of God. They see the likeness of Christ in us. Now, well, that's how it ought to be. But sadly, we do sin, and we do act foolishly, and consequently, the image of the Lord Jesus becomes concealed and hidden in our lives, and that's not good. That's not good. And I say all this, you see, in order that you might bear in mind that while you may look at the record of Gideon and find there sinful things that he shouldn't have done, please remember those stains that are found on him are found upon us all, but nevertheless there is still in him a likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I'm going to point out to you in the story, we only read a few verses of chapter 6, but those verses indicate to us that the circumstances that prevailed in Israel in Gideon's day remind us of what the world into which the Lord Jesus came was like. Look at what it says at the very beginning of this chapter. And the children of Israel did evil. That's the first thing that we're told. The atmosphere in Israel was one of sin. I always like to note when I come to this passage that it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. There wasn't a nation round about that would have said to Israel, oh, what you're doing is wrong. What they did was not evil in the sight of other men. Other men would have approved of it. Other men would have likely said, oh, Israel's catching up with the times. Israel's becoming like us, stopping being that oddity that she has been up to now. Oh, no. In the eyes of men, the sinfulness of Israel was perfectly acceptable and normal. But in God's eyes, what Israel was doing was sinful. Boys and girls, don't worry about what people think of your behavior. You only be concerned about what God thinks of your behavior. Is it pleasing to him? Is it acceptable to him? What is his opinion? That's all that counts. That's all that counts. We should live to please the Lord and no one else. No one else. So, the circumstances that prevailed in the land at this, the beginning of the story of Gideon. Here is the atmosphere that existed when Gideon came forth as God's man to deliver the nation. The nation was in rebellion. They were defying God. They did evil in the sight of God. It didn't matter to them that God was watching. They were doing that which was contrary to his mind and will. Let me tell you, the class would be very disobedient if it not only misbehaved when the teacher was called out of the room for a short time, and it became a little unruly, but the class would really be in defiance if, even when the teacher was there, it acted in an unruly fashion. It took no notice of the teacher. It had no regard for the presence of the teacher. They were going to do what was wrong, irrespective of the teacher. Now that's a class in total rebellion, isn't it? Well, so it was with Israel. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. They didn't care that God was watching. Oh, let us be ever conscious of the eye of God, and let us tremble in fear. Let us not be like Israel here and defy God. As a result of sin, and listen to me, there is always a result that follows sin. And it's not a good result. The verse 1 says, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. That word deliver, that's a good word. The school here has frequent deliveries. Up comes the delivery man in his van with a parcel. He rings the bell and he hands it over into the hands of a teacher. That's what God did. He took Israel and he put Israel into the hands of the enemy. The parcel can't object. The parcel can't jump out of the hands of the delivery man and paddle off on its own. No, it's impossible for that to happen. The parcel is helpless. It's taken into the hands of the teacher and carried away and opened, etc. And Israel couldn't resist no more than a parcel in the hands of a delivery man. Israel was delivered into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. And you will see that not only was the nation in bondage, but oh, what a bondage it was. We're told in the verses that follow that, look at verse 2, the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, absolutely in power. Israel couldn't resist. And we read on down to the verse 6, and it's the end of the little narrative regarding the situation and the condition of Israel. And we read the children of Israel were greatly impoverished. Beginning of verse 6, they were greatly impoverished. That means they were in poverty. Everything they had was taken from them. You can read earlier there that when the Midianites came in, verse 4, they not only took the crops that were growing and made use of them for themselves, but what was left to destroy. That's the cruelty of the enemy. This world is no friend of the Christian. This world delights in making life as difficult as possible for the Christian. And the god of this world, the devil, of course, is a cruel, cruel taskmaster. And if we ever in any way fall under his power, then we're going to feel the terribleness of his cruelty. They were impoverished. Boys and girls, let me tell you, please, if you think the world and sin will bring you pleasure and joy, you could not be more wrong. You could not be more wrong. It brings misery. It brings poverty. It brings unhappiness. And it leads on to eternal unhappiness. I'm at a loss to find the right words, boys and girls, to set before you a warning. Do not believe the lies of the world. All it has for you is misery and impoverishment. Israel thought it was a great thing to throw over the old ways and to stop worshipping God as their fathers had and embark on a new path. Oh, I can see, as it were, the newspaper headlines of that day. New hopes, new bright future, new wonderful prospects. Now that we have turned our back on the old path. But it didn't turn out like that. And the promises of sin will ever fail you. You will find them to be a deception and a lie. You cling to Christ. You obey him. Walk with him. Believe him. And you will enjoy that bounty which he supplies. We'll continue with this next week when we come together again in the will of the Lord. Let's just bow together in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee today, and we pray that what has been said, that, O God, it may come home to the hearts of the children with power. We're very conscious, Lord, of our inabilities. We can never find words that seem to suitably impress, but we thank Thee for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He it is who causes His word to impress itself upon the heart. And I pray that the boys and the girls will heed the warnings of Scripture and embrace with all their hearts the wonderful, merciful, loving invitations of Christ to walk with Him and enjoy His bounty. Bless the boys and the girls today. Bless the school, the teachers. Undertake, Lord, may there be heaven in each classroom, and may the protecting eye of God ever be upon this little place, for Jesus' sake. Amen.